Playing for us today. It's always a treat. It is good to be with you guys today, and I think I have about 9 minutes, it looks like. That's a good thing. I'm thankful, so I'll move quick. I told them whatever happens, like, sure, I'll be done by noon. Preemptive apologies. Might be a couple minutes longer, but we'll move quick here for you. I just wanted to talk for a few moments about how the church fulfills its mission. I'm so thankful that we were able to have baptisms today and rejoice in that. We're going to have some new members here join us in a few as well, which is exciting. This is what the church should be doing. We're a part of what God wants us to be a part of. Previously, we've been moving through kind of verse by verse through Luke. Today, I'm going to be in a couple of places. I'm going to be in Matthew 28 and then in the first, in Acts 2 as well. So you can turn to Matthew 28 if you'd like. And it's become a popular thing to critique churches today. It's become popular to talk about all of the frustrations and to air all the grievances that goes along with a church. Now, many of those things are valid, right? The church is full of sinners, and it's full of broken people. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably been hurt in some way, shape, or fashion by a church member, by a person who's a part of something. And so it does happen. Ungodly actions, abuse, hurts, offenses, those take place, and it's a shame that it happens even within the church. But we're so committed to the church and what we're seeking to do in honoring and pleasing God because the church was God's idea, right? To have a people who gather together, who worship Him, who proclaim the goodness of who He is, His glory, the church specifically was God's idea. And so, if we're committed to still what the church is to do and to be, it starts with us understanding what the church was called or commissioned to do. Seeking to follow and obey Scripture in dependence on Christ. So those are the two kind of things I'm going to talk about, and you'll see it throughout my points as I move rapidly. The church fulfills its mission by obeying Scripture and depending on Christ. So first, in Matthew 28, here's the commissioning of really what the church's mission is to be. Here's what the Scriptures say. Jesus was getting ready to ascend, and he says, and Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you even to the end of the age." So Jesus, before ascending into heaven, he gives his commissioning, right? We see our duty, it's to make disciples everywhere you go, to go out and to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them all that I've commanded you to do. To preach, to explain, to have conversations, to talk about all that Jesus has commanded us to do. I love biblical counseling. It's something that I'm passionate about. Do you see that even in the Great Commission, biblical counseling fulfills the Great Commission? As you counsel with somebody and sit in there, you're teaching them to do all that God's commanded them to do. And so it's about making disciples and going out and helping and encouraging and exhorting others to follow. But the point that I wanted to focus on, even with this commissioning, God giving the church its mission, is this point. If any of you have sought to make disciples, you'll see it's a hard thing sometimes. It can be difficult. But here's the promise or the encouragement that Jesus gives. He says, "I am with you always." The only way we can go around seeking to follow the command or the commissioning that God's given to his church is with a deep dependence and reliance on God. There is nothing that we can do apart from him. Right? Even people getting baptized and joining the church and whatever the case may be, and there's so many people who served and who cared and was faithful throughout people just walking towards God or being brought towards God, right? None of that takes place without Christ. Nothing good takes place apart from him. And unless he builds the house, the builders are just laboring in vain. There's nothing that we can do if we don't have him helping us. And so if we're going to seek to be a church that's making disciples, we commit to deeply to what God's word says and to the fact that we are fully dependent on him. We need him to do anything. 1 Corinthians 3:5 and 7 says, 3:5 through 7 says, "What then is Apollos or who is Paul?" These were ministry leaders. He says, "They were servants whom you believed in as the Lord assigned to each." Paul said, "I planted the seeds," and meaning he preached the gospel, and Apollos watered, meaning that he continued to teach the people, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Right? If you've planted a garden, we took our stab at one this year, and you water it, you plant the seed, and then we say a little prayer. We don't make the seeds bud. We can do everything that we can do. But God gives the increase, and so it is in the life of the church. It's only because of Christ that the church can pursue filling its mission that he's given us. It's only because of his continued help. That promise that he will continue to be with us is so necessary for the Christian today. So that was the commissioning. And along with that, Jesus gave us so many promises, along with those promises being that the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. That as we go out and minister and disciple and call people to repentance and dependence on Christ, and we invite and we welcome, that we do all these things, that the gates of hell will not withstand the advance of the church. And this is the commission that God gave us. And then in Acts 2, he gives us the construction of the church. In Acts 2:41, I'm going to turn there. You can turn there with me. We'll be the rest of our time here in Acts. And I love this passage in Acts, and I'll break it down more fully at some point because it's one that I love so much. But in Acts 2:41, if you remember, so now Jesus had ascended into heaven and he was gone, and the disciples had gathered in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they go out into this kind of Pentecost gathering, and Peter gets up and preaches the gospel, and thousands come to know Jesus Christ that day. And this is where we get a passage on speaking in tongues, where Peter is speaking in these languages and everybody's hearing in their home languages, testifying by the work of the Holy Spirit what he's accomplishing. But here's what it says after that. It says, "So those who," in verse 41, Acts 2, "received his word, they were baptized. There were added that day about 3,000 souls." And so the construction of the church was that the word would be preached, it'd be proclaimed, and that people would get saved, and then they would follow in baptism. That must have been a cool service. We get excited over 6 baptisms. Could you imagine 3,000 people getting baptized? It would be amazing. And so the church welcomes all people, but it's constructed of believers who get saved, and then they get baptized, and then they join and are a part of things at the church. Believers profess the relationship with Christ through baptism. It's an outward proclamation of an inward reality. It doesn't save anybody, but it proclaims. Historically, it was of great cost to be baptized, right? You were leaving something publicly. You were maybe leaving the Jewish faith that your family had held to so dearly, and you were taking a new step. And it would be costly. Your family might reject you. You might have people who oppose you. They might consider you traitors. But nevertheless, people were getting baptized. And when they're baptized, they're welcomed into the family of God. They're welcomed into the family of the church specifically. When you're saved, you're welcomed into the family of God. And so we get this idea of membership. We add them to the church. Membership comes from being members of the body of Christ together, that we serve together, we give together, we have gifts that we all bring to the table, and we serve God alongside one another. And so what did this people look like who gathered? We're just going to keep moving along. So we see the commissioning, the construction, and the community in Acts 2:42 through 45. Look at what the people who got saved and baptized were doing with one another. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all or any as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received food with glad and generous hearts. You see that community of people? They were gathering together. They were in the temple daily learning about Jesus. They were gathering in each other's homes. They were being generous with one another as each person had need. There was a true fellowship and brotherhood there. And I do think we have to ask ourselves, does that describe us? Right? Are we a community like that? That's a pretty high bar. But I think what they were doing more than anything is they were just finding joy in each other's presence, talking about God. It said awe of who God is was just falling on them. They're finding delight in being together, having meals together. Right? Baptists love this because we get to eat. And this passage breaks down what a beautiful thing the Christian community is, what we're welcoming these people into. So the commissioning, the construction, the community, and here's the conclusion in verse 46 and 47. It says, and day by day they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. What did the Lord do? The Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. See, it was even in the midst of the community and the tight-knit relationships that were being formed and the love that was kind of spreading amongst people, and as they were deepening their walk with Christ, each one, we see the Lord was faithful. The Lord added to the church. The Lord saved people. Right? The community didn't save anybody. It was just following what they were being called to do, what was natural to them, which is gathering together, being upon one another, talking about the words and the works of Christ. And when they did, God was moving in their midst. He was accomplishing what he had proclaimed he would do previously when he said, I will be with you always, wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be with you. I will be working. Joy, favor, multiplication of people. This is what the church was given as they followed Jesus Christ. The results of the Christian community, the people who commit to the Great Commission, they commit to what God's called them to do. They commit to the body of Christ. They commit to following him, to being fully dependent on him. The result is that our faith spreads. You know, any time that there's kind of a failure in the church, it's not because God failed to be faithful. Right? It's because we failed to exercise faith. And so today, as we've gathered, there's much more I could say, but I just want to say that I'm so thankful. Because what today is just a demonstration that God's been faithful to us. Amen. That he's been good to us. Right? Even the past year, you look out on so many like, last year and a half has not been easy for many people within our congregation. Time and time again, I've heard of them professing and confessing, God has been faithful. And even in our church, right, it hasn't always been easy, but God has been faithful. But it is up to us to continue to follow in the steps that he's led us in, that he calls us to be the church, to be tight-knit with one another, to love one another, to care for one another, to love him as he's loved us, knowing that in the midst of all of this, he will never, ever leave us. Let's pray.